Heads and One Night in Bangkok to start the hour in Niagara there with J'ai Vu at 8:15, the full English breakfast show. Only 6% of the UK public wants to return to the same type of economy as before the coronavirus, according to new polling, as trade unions, business groups and religious and civic leaders unite in calling for a fairer financial recovery. The former head of the civil service in the UK, Bob Kerslake, the former Archbishop of Canterbury, Rome Williams, the heads of the Trades Union Congress, Confederation of British Industry and the British Chambers of Commerce are among 350 influential figures and groups wanting a fairer and greener economic rebuilding and believe there's no going back to the past. Their call comes as a YouGov poll shows that 31% of people want to see big changes in the way the economy is run coming out of the crisis, with a further 28% wanting to see moderate changes and only 6% of people wanting to see no changes. And the poll also showed that 44% of people were pessimistic when they thought about the future of the economy, while only 27% were optimistic. 49% thought the crisis had made inequality worse. The Labour peer Lord Kerslake said as the country begins to emerge from the crisis, it's becoming clear that people want a better future, not simply to return to where we were before. As with big crises in the past, from wars to the Great Depression, it was universally agreed there was no going back. And so we have to ask deep questions about what kind of society and economy we now want to build. The moment we are in is a challenge to us all, to governments, businesses, civil society and citizens, but it's a challenge to which together we can rise and build something better. The research was commissioned by the New Economics Foundation and was released at the launch of the Build Back Better campaign. Other signatories include David Walker, the Bishop of Manchester, Rose Hudson-Wilkin, the Bishop of Dover, Senior Rabbi Laura Jana Klausner, and the heads of Oxfam Shelter Save the Children, the Trussell Trust, Greenpeace and Friends of the Earth. Francis Morris, director of the Tate Modern, has also signed up in a personal capacity. The Full English Breakfast Show, this is new from Haim. Now I'm in it, whatever it is. Well, it should have been the Glastonbury Festival over the weekend, but obviously that didn't happen because of the coronavirus. Saw some of the highlights from yesteryear. David Bowie last night was pretty good. Beyonce was pretty good as well. All sorts of interesting things to watch. But one man's not happy about it. Here's Jonathan Pye.
Glastonbury. It doesn't get much more historic than this. A place steeped in myth and legend. Built at the centre of several ley lines, Glastonbury lays claim to being the last resting place of King Arthur. Some also say it's where the Holy Grail was buried. And legend has it, Glastonbury was even visited by Jesus as a child. Far be it for me to take a piss on Glastonbury's fire, but seriously, King Arthur, the Holy Grail, ley lines, Jesus, and just over the hill is Hogwarts. Utter nonsense. Grow up. Glastonbury has a population of just under 9,000, but for one weekend a year, the town is host to the world's largest arts festival. Actually, that's fake news. It's not true. The festival is 6 miles that way, in the village of Pilton. Pilton Pop Festival. That's what we used to call it. Glastonbury's got nothing to do with it. Okay. Once a year, Glastonbury is host to thousands of people on a come down who have just left a festival in a neighbouring village in search of somewhere to go and have a poo. 2020 marks the 50th anniversary of Glastonbury Festival, and it was to be its biggest and best yet. And then coronavirus struck.
Like the rest of the country, Glastonbury has been on lockdown. But what? What?
I can't hear you. Take your mask off, I can't hear you. Like the rest of the country, Glastonbury has spent the last 3 months in lockdown, and the world's most famous arts festival has been cancelled. Boo-hoo. We're all in the same boat. We've all just had to roll the dice. Everyone's just had to take two steps back. It's not just the arts. Everything's been cancelled. Apart from the Cheltenham Festival. That went ahead. But at least Primark is open, you know? With all the other shit that's going on, it feels a bit trite to sort of go, oh, but think of the artists. Probably 3 million people unemployed when this is over. 50,000 deaths and counting. Most of them due to our government's astonishingly toxic mix of complacency and ineptitude. Oh yeah, but some people are missing out on their contact improvisation drama classes. The truth is, the arts sustains 3 million jobs and generates roughly £10 billion a year for the economy. Creative industries as a whole, roughly £100 billion for the economy. It is undeniable that we are world leading when it comes to the arts and culture, which does more for our global image than any plane with a red, white and blue £1 million paint job ever could. The arts is arguably the last thing we are a world leader in, apart from deaths from COVID-19. There's a cure for a lot of society's ills right there. There's magic in that, that you are not alone, that you are a part of something, a community, humanity, the realization that the human experience is something that we experience together, dancing together, laughing together, crying together, singing together. That's art. That's Glastonbury. Yeah, I'm fine. Some guy down the high street just offered me a toke or something. I'm really stoned. You're driving home, by the way.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Very well, thank you.
A little wet weekend, did you?
It was a little bit stormy, a little bit rainy, it has to be said. I mean, everyone was sort of complaining, it's too hot, this is not what it should be like. And then sort of one day of storms and everyone's gone, well, summer's finished, that was miserable, and we're still in lockdown.
It's getting a bit too hot for my liking down here, actually.
Is it? Sizzling?
Yeah. Yesterday afternoon just seemed to get very hot all of a sudden. It hasn't cooled down either, so...
Well, I feel very sorry for you.
Can't have everything, though, can you?
It's hard being in the south of France.
Okay, markets. I mean, the spot... Spikes in coronavirus in the United States in particular are really starting to worry investors now.
Yeah, equity markets fluctuated during the course of last week, registering both significant gains and large losses during individual trading sessions. Investors digested the latest medical and economic data releases, the resurgence of virus cases, the IMF downgrading of growth prospects, growing trade tensions between the US and Europe, created somewhat of a volatile backdrop for risk assets, though improving business confidence in Europe and easing of the Volcker rule on US banks and a jump in US consumer spending did help to mitigate some of that negative sentiment last week. So pandemic is still the key focus for many investors, and as we know, it's still accelerating, led by Brazil, the United States and India. Total infections now stand at more than 10 million. Deaths topped the 500,000 mark for the first time yesterday. Markets, I think, remain cognizant that spikes in the virus can very quickly curtail economic activity as regional restrictions are reimposed. Got plenty of evidence of that in Texas and in Florida and, of course, in Los Angeles over the course of the weekend as well. We know that's going to have a significant impact in terms of economic activity, and the markets are reacting to that. So we saw a larger fall on Friday. Saw social media companies coming under pressure, no doubt we'll come on to that. That resulted in the S&P 500 down 2.9% last week, though holding above the 3,000 level, still up 16% this quarter. In Europe, the Stoxx 50 was down 2% last week. Opening calls on the European bourses looking pretty lacklustre, it has to be said. Currently calling FTSE down 28 points. DAX over in Frankfurt down 62 points. CAC 40 in Paris down 24 points.
And some pretty depressing figures coming out of Japan overnight as well.
Yeah, the numbers out of Japan just show you what a long road to recovery that we're likely to be seeing. The Japanese economy has been struggling for some time, of course, decades, you could argue, to reflate itself, to generate economic activity. Got significant structural problems within Japan, and aging population is one of the big issues that they've been seeing. But within that, we know that the disruption caused by the coronavirus, the impact that's had on particularly its exports, has filtered through to a very poor performance from the Japanese economy, and continuing to struggle to find its way out of the pandemic.
Okay, paradoxically, US consumer activity appears to be rising, but you just wonder how long that's going to continue.
Yeah, it is how sustainable it is. I mean, further signs of a rebounding activity in the United States were displayed as consumer spending surged by a record amount in May, although still remains below the pre-pandemic level. Americans spent relief payments and refundable tax credits as shops and restaurants reopened. Household spending jumped 8.2% from the prior month, steepest increase in more than six decades worth of data. This after falling the most, we should remember, on record in April. Consumer Consumer spending, of course, the key to the recovery in the United States, accounting for 2/3 of economic activity. Government sent checks to households and instigated a payroll protection program to encourage businesses to keep hold of staff. So that flow of cash and the labor market will be absolutely key in terms of playing an important role, as I say, in how quickly the US can emerge from this recession.
Right, onto the social media, as you mentioned at the start of the broadcast, but it's not the first time that Mark Zuckerberg has sort of been found to be wanting, really, in strategy, is it?
It isn't, it has to be said, but previously the pressure on the social media companies, on Mark Zuckerberg, has very much been driven by politicians and regulators. This time it's driven by companies and the all-important advertisers. So one suspects he'd probably be listening just that little bit harder this time around, particularly after shares in the social media platforms tumbled on Friday. Just after Unilever, one of the world's largest maker of consumer goods, they're behind brands Dove soap, Hellmann's mayonnaise, Lipton tea, Marmite, amongst others. Ben and Jerry's said it will halt all US advertising on Facebook and Twitter for the rest of the year because of hate speech and polarized politics that users often post. Unilever is one of the world's largest advertisers with an annual budget of almost $8 billion. Shares in Facebook reacted pretty aggressively, down 8%. Twitter was down 7%. Some fears that other companies may follow suit, and we've seen that over the course of the weekend. Coca-Cola said they would stop advertising on all social media for at least 30 days. Pepsi, I think Levi Strauss has also come out. Starbucks saying they wouldn't advertise on social media as well. So there's a growing pressure on these companies to respond. We did hear from Mark Zuckerberg. He did respond. He said by announcing the company would label all voting-related posts with a link encouraging users to look at a new voter information hub and expand its definition of prohibited hate speech. But I say lots of pressure coming through from big advertisers, and that will focus his mind quite quickly.
Might be an idea if social media sort of banned all sort of political advertising on its platforms, because, I mean, you know, we've heard how it's been manipulated over the years, and it would certainly sort of remove something that's been extremely controversial over the last few years.
Yeah, well, the original thought was by these owners of social media companies that we're merely a platform that free speech should be allowed to reign, and therefore we're not responsible for what users put on there. That, of course, has changed quite significantly as a result of reports of the US election was manipulated by foreign bodies, shall we say, and using social media accounts, and that put pressure on them by lawmakers, and that, of course, has been followed up by a range of other allegations that's been putting pressure on them to change the way in which their business models operate.
Okay, foreign exchanges, pounds still heading south, I see.
It is a little sign that the Brexit negotiations are making the progress that was once hoped. Boris Johnson, only a week or so ago, was talking about an intensification of the negotiations. It doesn't seem to be developing into the key areas. This week, they'll be focusing on fisheries and the level playing field. So progress still needs to be made there. If not, pound will remain under pressure. One would suspect pound against the dollar coming in at 1.23 this morning. Euro dollar coming in at 1.12. Going to get €1.10 for your British pound this morning.
Well, with respect to the fishermen, when you see that fishing only accounts for 0.1% of the UK economy, it's amazing how much trouble it's causing.
It's true, isn't it? But sovereignty over British waters is seen as an important aspect of the whole Brexit, and Brexit was around sovereignty, and if you're not able to control even your own waters, then it suggests or questions why we've gone through this process, I suppose.
Sovereignty and fish.
Nice.
Thank you very much.
Enjoy your day.
Talk to you tomorrow. Hank Potson, Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
I'm Rob Harrison with the top stories across the Riviera. Regional health authorities say there are now only 46 patients being treated for coronavirus in Alpes Maritimes hospitals. The figure's the lowest since the 22nd of March, with an extra 17 people discharged from hospitals over the weekend. Only one patient remains in intensive care, compared with 87 on the 8th of April, and the spread of the virus in the department is now described as very low. 282 people from the Alpes Maritimes have died from the virus since the start of the crisis. Meanwhile, health experts in the VAR have described rumours that new cases of the virus are growing quickly in Toulon as rubbish. Rumours on social media about a new cluster of cases in Toulon have been increasing over the past few days, but health officials say it simply isn't true. In Monaco, the latest official statistics show that a total of 103 people have contracted the coronavirus since the start of the epidemic. Four people have died and 95 have been cured. Three new cases showed up last week, including the tennis stars Grigor Dimitrov and Novak Djokovic, who both contracted the virus abroad. There was one new case detected over the weekend, with the patient being treated at home. 14 employees from the boulangerie section of the Auchan supermarket at La Seyne-sur-Mer in Navarre have been told to self-isolate after one tested positive for coronavirus. Management say the employee was admitted to hospital for an unrelated illness on the 21st of June, but tested positive for the virus while receiving treatment. The boulangerie area of the supermarket, as well as employees' changing rooms, have been deep cleaned. None of those affected had any direct contact with members of the public. Landfill space is running out on the Côte d'Azur, with the average resident producing 436 kilos of rubbish a year. The figure's way above the national average of 360 kilos, and authorities have been forced to export waste from the south of France to other areas of the country. In November last year, 500 tonnes of locally generated rubbish had to be sent for incineration in the Nord part of Calais because there was no capacity to treat it at source. The mayor of Antibes, Jean Leonetti, has called for an urgent solution to be found, and a working group has been set up to examine the problem. There needs to be an extra focus on recycling and collective composting. Christian Estrosi has been elected as mayor of Nice for a third term. Mr. Estrosi was elected with 59.3% of the votes in the second round, ahead of the RN candidate Philippe Valdon, who obtained 21.29%. In Menton, Jean-Claude Guibert was re-elected with 55.7% of the votes, and Louis Negre was returned as mayor of Cagnes-sur-Mer with 47.86% of the vote. Valbon's gone green, with Joseph Cesaro unseating the outgoing mayor Christophe Ettore with 45.46% of the votes. Police in the Var say they've broken up a large drug trafficking gang after making 8 arrests at a luxury villa at Gassin last week. Authorities say all those arrested are important figures in the drugs trade, and a large amount of illegal substances have been seized, including a kilo of cocaine and 45 kilos of cannabis resin. All those arrested are aged between 20 and 40. The villa where they were apprehended was being rented at €7,000 a week. And large numbers of jellyfish have been showing up on the shores of the south of France over the weekend, pushed inshore by currents and multiplying in the hot weather. The Pelagia noctiluca, or mauve stinger, has been showing up in large numbers on beaches from the Var to Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat and can cause extreme discomfort. Authorities say if people are stung, they should avoid scratching the area and seek help from a pharmacy, which will be able to provide a calming cream. Stings should not be rinsed in fresh water, and you should stay out of the sun afterwards. In national news today, the French government has announced that the launch of a new website to allow British people to apply for residency post-Brexit has been delayed because of the coronavirus pandemic. The site had been due to go live on the 1st of July, but has now been put back until October. Under the terms of the EU withdrawal agreement, British people will have to apply for a specific residency permit by the end of June 2021. The delay has been caused as prefectures are facing a 3-month backlog in processing residency permits and are unable to take the extra Brexit caseload on for the time being. British people wishing to visit France for a holiday will be allowed to do so from the 6th of July under a new air bridge system. The British government says it will relax the 14-day quarantine period, with an announcement coming in the middle of this week, but with a strict handbrake mechanism in place, with restrictions on travel re-implemented should cases of the virus flare up again at any destination. People are entering the UK will no longer be required to go into 14-day quarantine on arrival, but will be asked to provide contact details. The new regulations will apply to air travel, as well as ferries, Eurostar and the Eurotunnel. The French cosmetics giant L'Oréal is to remove words such as whitening and fairness from its products in light of global anti-racism protests. The move follows a decision by the Indian and Bangladeshi arms of the consumer products giant Unilever to remove their Fair and Lovely Skin lightening cream from sale for the same reason. Several firms, including L'Oréal, have been criticised in recent days for their skin lightening products. Last week, Johnson & Johnson said it would stop selling its Clean and Clear products, advertised as dark spot reducers in Asia and the Middle East. And the Green Party and its left-wing allies have made big gains in the second round of the French municipal elections. Green candidates took cities including Lyon, Strasbourg and Besançon, while the party of President Emmanuel Macron failed to win any big municipality. Anne Hidalgo has been re-elected as mayor of Paris, while the French Prime Minister Edouard Philippe held on to Le Havre. The second round of voting had been delayed because of the coronavirus crisis. Turnout was very low.
Riviera Radio Sports News.
Football, the draw has been made in England for the semi-finals of the FA Cup, and there was one game in the English Premier League on Sunday. Here are the details from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Alistair Ross at BBC Sport, and Frank Lampard has praised the priceless performance of midfielder Ross Barkley after the England international scored the only goal of the game to give Chelsea a win at Leicester in the FA Cup. Now, 3 wins in 3 for Chelsea since football resumed in England, but Lampard singled out Barkley for special praise.
The fact that he can go right and left and get really great technical strikes away means that he's always going to be a goal threat. And then when he shows that desire of making 6-yard box, that's what I like to see from midfield players. And Ross's performance against City the other day, he's defending, he's being disciplined, but he also arrives, and that's obviously priceless for a midfield player.
So Chelsea are into the semi-finals of the FA Cup, where they will face Manchester United. Arsenal will host Manchester City in the other last four tie. Arsenal needed an injury time winner from Dani Ceballos to get past Sheffield United 2-1. Manchester City breezed past Newcastle 2-0. Kevin De Bruyne scored the first from the spot on his 29th birthday.
We knew that after lockdown the league was gone. You know, we have to be honest about that. And obviously with the FA Cup and the Champions League still in play, there's still a lot of things to look forward to. And we're very happy we're in the semis now, so we can go back to Wembley. It's going to be a hard game.
And Watford remained just 1 point above the relegation places after they were thrashed 3-1 at home by Southampton in Sunday's only Premier League game. Danny Ings scoring twice for the visitors. Watford didn't manage to muster a single shot on target. Their goal was an own goal. And for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
In the English Championship on Sunday, Sheffield Wednesday were 2-1 winners of Bristol City, and Nottingham Forest beat Huddersfield 3-1. Cricket, the West Indies captain Jason Holder says the players found guilty of racism should face the same penalties as those found match-fixing or doping. Holder said the penalty for doping or corruption should be exactly the same for racism. The ICC rules allow for a lifetime ban for on-field racism, but culprits are rarely punished to that extent. Holder says it's time for clarification. And in tennis, Dan Evans is beating Carl Edmund in the Battle of the Brits final. Evans showed why he's the current British number one with a 6-3, 6-2 victory at the National Tennis Centre. Evans will be hoping to continue the good form when the ATP Tour resumes in August.
The Marine Weather Forecast brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Be safe on the seas with Oyster Yachts.
For coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Almara Sea with the VAR, the general situation is high pressure, 1,070 millibars over the region, and a depression, 1,009 millibars over the Ligurian Sea. A winds are southwesterly, force 3 to 5, picking up to force 6. The sea is slight, becoming moderate. Visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint Jean Cap Ferrat, 1,016 millibars. And the outlook for Tuesday, partially cloudy, force 1 to 3 variable winds, calm seas, and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are southwesterly, force 4 to 6, locally force 7. The sea is moderate to locally rough, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,015 millibars. And the outlook for Tuesday, clear skies, force 3 to 5 westerly winds, slight seas and good visibility.
The Marine Weather Forecast brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Crafted by British boat builders since 1973, the best ocean-going sailing yachts in the world. The world is your oyster. Make Oyster your world. OysterYachts.com.
Riviera Radio. Weather.
Clear skies, moderate westerly winds across the VAR today. Top temperatures 30 degrees on the coast, up to 33 degrees inland. Overnight lows 22 degrees on the coast, 20 degrees inland with clear skies. Tuesday and Wednesday mainly fine, a bit cooler. Highs of 26 to 30 degrees. Finally, a 9-month-old puppy's been saved after swallowing a stick half the length of his body. The crossbreed named Rocky was taken to Southampton Pet Hospital by his owner after suffering severe sickness. Not surprised, a team of vets then worked to remove the 25-centimetre stick during an hour-long emergency operation. A vet said that they'd seen nothing ever like it, adding the puppy was lucky to be alive. Rocky's owner said the pet was being sick repeatedly and couldn't keep any food down. We knew that he was very likely to have eaten something he shouldn't, but to have caused his sudden illness and suspected he had a foreign body in his stomach. Given its length and his size, it's a wonder it hadn't punctured his vital organs and caused fatal injuries. An RSPCA spokeswoman said the charity recommends that owners do not give sticks as toys to their pets. Chewing or playing with sticks can cause wounds in the mouth and throat, choking or intestinal blockages, as well as the risk of sticks getting lodged in the mouth. Gosh, lucky escape.